Today's scripture reading is Matthew 21, 1 through 11. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee."
I'm not sure we can really appreciate this day or the beginning of this week without a history lesson. 63 years before Christ, Rome came and invaded the nation of Israel and oppressed them and stole their money. In 28 CE, there was a man who was placed as the governor of Judea. His people were called the Pontius people. And his dad had served in Julius Caesar's army and had been given the title, an honorable title, called Pontius, which means keeper of the javelin. Pontius Pilate was placed as the governor in 28 CE. And a lot of people had gone before him and had failed in this position, but he was going to make sure that he had absolute power. If you've read the book Zealot, it talks about the historical document telling when Pilate came into Jerusalem for the first time, having been named governor. He wore a white tunic, a red cape, a symbol of Caesar, Tiberius, who was referred to as the Son of God, and a whole legion of soldiers following him. He was a ruthless man. He was ruthless. When the engineers told him that the aqueducts needed to be replaced in Jerusalem, he stole the money from the temple and built new aqueducts. When people complained, he sent his soldiers in and had them murdered on the streets. During his tenure, close to 2,000 Jews were crucified. If there was any insurrection, he was on top of it, and he did away with it. His job was to take the taxes from the Jews and get it to Rome. No problems, no questions asked. He did a thing in 28, the year that he became the governor. He appointed the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, who was a very, very wealthy man. And these two men, in charge of Jerusalem and all the people in the surrounding areas, could have taken their power to help people. But the governor oppressed people with taxes, and the high priest oppressed people with offerings. This was the world in which Jesus was born. It has been suggested by a couple of scholars who have spent their entire lives looking not only at Scripture, but for the historical Jesus, that on this Sunday, on this day of the Palms, that there were probably two processions going on. On the one hand, Pontius Pilate was coming into the city of 40,000 people. And during the Feast of the Passover, there would be close to 200,000 people. Pilate riding in to make sure there were no problems happening. We can imagine this, right? I mean, after 9/11, think about how many police are in New York City at New Year's Eve. We can kind of start getting this. Think about how many more police are going to be in Boston this year during the Boston Marathon. Any problems, you have guards there. And Pontius Pilate rides in on a steed wearing the image of Tiberius, the son of God. Legions of soldiers behind him telling the people, just try to revolt today. Just try it. And people laying palm branches in front of him saying, we will follow Rome. On the other side of the city comes a humble rabbi who taught about a different kind of power and a different kind of kingdom. It is a power where we are servants. That's what we do. We turn the other cheek. We forgive. We work on behalf of the oppressed. That's what we do. Two completely different images. And the people offering their palm branches to Jesus, they're thumbing their nose at Rome. They're saying, no, this is the power that we're going to follow. They're giving Rome the middle finger. It is an act of sedition. It is an act of sedition. But the crowd did and did not get it right. They got it right because they understood the right place of power and the right kingdom to follow. But they were crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, which means save us, save us. They were expecting the rabbi on the colt to create a revolt of spears and knives. And Jesus just keeps going towards the cross. Clearly, within these two processionals, there is a question that has to be asked. And it is, whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? We know that in Matthew, he takes the crowd and uses the crowd as a character within the story. The crowd sees Jesus baptized. The crowd hears the Beatitudes. The crowd receives food from Jesus. And then the crowd offers their love and proclaims, we're with you. But we also know that voice changes sometime during this week. So I say to you, whose side are you on? In 1931, there was a man who lived in Harlan County, Kentucky. And he was a minor union, trying to create a union for the coal miners there because they lived in desperate conditions. And Sam Reese knew that the sheriff was in the pocket of those who owned the mine. And he got word that they were coming after him. So he escaped, but they attacked his house. They destroyed the house, and his wife, Florence, was in the house with their children and saw what these ruthless men were going to do. Later, she wrote on her calendar, whose side are you on? And put a poem to it, and then it became the song that the miners sang together, saying there are no neutral powers here. You're either on our side or you're not. Whose side are you on? Every time we take an act to change the powers that be, we proclaim whose side we're on. Every time we stand up for marriage equality, we determine whose side we're on. Every time we stand against racism, we proclaim whose side we're on. So I ask you today, whose side are you on? Every time we keep a kid from being bullied, every time we work for children to have good educations, we are saying whose side we are on. I was in a restaurant this week across from OCU, and there was a young man who came in with a T-shirt, and I suspect, Lisa, he's probably one of your students. And the T-shirt read, no person is illegal. That t-shirt was telling me whose side he's on. Whenever we work on behalf of undocumented people, we're saying, whose side are you on? But let's be clear. This is about power, and it's about action. And these acts are not popular. They often put people in jail, and often leaders die. But we're called to act. And we're called to act as servants, not as the great leader who wants palms put down for us. But we're called to be servant leaders, to do it and be the voice of Christ. So on this Palm Sunday, look at that palm, and I hope it would challenge you to the core, because every action we take, every word that comes out of our mouth, says whose side we are on. I wonder what your life will say about you this week. Amen.